I'm Mike Hutchins, a retired extension dairy specialist and professor of animal sciences emeritus at the University of Illinois.
This week at World Dairy Expo, talking about reducing feed costs on the dairy farm and really looking at what's going into the ration. What are some of the key takeaway points you're helping farmers with and identifying where they can save some money?
Yeah, a couple of the key factors we're looking at is to be sure that we never give up milk. In other words, anytime I get an extra pound of milk, usually that's the most profitable milk on the market. So that's one of my messages, that I don't pull something out of the ration or make a change that I give up milk. I always smile and say, well, I saved a dime, but then I lose a dollar or 50 cents or something like that. Another message I think is going to be making sure we have high quality forage and then making our ration built around the forage. If the forages are just averages, then we're going to have to work around those. The good news is soybean meal and corn looks to be very inexpensive this year due to the huge crop that we're seeing coming out of the Corn Belt states here, and then some of the tariff things that are going on as well. We then also take a look at what goes into these diets. Certainly one area that creates a lot of controversy is feed additives. These are feeds that are put in a diet for a non-nutrient role, be like a buffer or something that affects animal health and performance, stuff like that. And a lot of these feed additives have like a 4-to-1 to 8-to-1 return on investment, which means I spend a nickel and I get 40 or 60 cents back in production or milk components, in some case animal health as far as that goes. So just be sure when you look at these feed additives that we don't go off there. And then finally we looked at some numbers for a business. And I'm arguing a dairy farm is a business just like McDonald's or the Ford dealership is. And to me, there's four big numbers that I think our dairymen need to look at. The numbers I'm going to give you are Illinois numbers, so it might be a little different if it's in California or Florida. But we're looking at 9 to 10 cents per pound of dry matter. This is for the total ration, including feed additives. We're looking at feed cost per hundredweight of milk. I'd like to be under $6 here. Income over feed cost, I would like to be over $10 if I can. But one of the real problems, I can't control the feed cost. So again, I'm looking at one of the things I can control, and that's going to be feed cost. And the number I really like to monitor is feed efficiency. And this looks at how many pounds of milk do I get from each pound of dry matter. And efficiency has been the most important one in all livestock, for pigs and chickens and beef cattle, same for dairy cattle. And it gives me a feel of how good do my cows take this input feed and convert it over to milk. And there's some significant dollars if I can improve feed efficiency.
Looking at the growing season this year in the Midwest, it's been pretty dry for some different pockets. How is that increasing on-farm feed or lack of going to affect farmers this winter?
Well, certainly, if you look at some places like in Missouri, they had a very serious drought. They're just going to have a lot less feed there. The good news is the feed they have is probably going to be above average in quality, because by and large, the plant protects the nutrients. Instead of growth, it goes into seed or seed production. It protects the plant as best we can. In central Illinois, we had some dry pockets, and the word is 30 or 40 bushels less corn because we didn't get those timely rains as far as that goes. So I think the take-home message is going to be that you need to determine how much inventory do I have on the farm for feed, and how many animals am I going to be feeding. And certainly that includes dry cows and growing heifers. So if you're going to be short 10% feed, let's learn it now, because you might be able to buy forages now, where next April or May, before the new crops come in, we're in big trouble as far as that goes. Another one we could still do in parts of Illinois, we could put in like a winter wheat and winter triticale. This is a very early crop, and so I could get a crop out in April rather than waiting until the alfalfa or clover or something like that. So I think the take-home message here is know where you're at, what do I need, and then what's your strategy going to be. You could use some byproduct feeds, and you could stretch them, a soy hulls, beet pulp, citrus pulp in Florida. You could stretch some of the forage inventories, but let's figure that out now, not in February or March.
Talking about giving up milk production when you're changing that ration, what are some of the key areas that really can help or lose milk at the end of the day?
Well, the most immediate ones are going to be basically dry matter intake. The relationship is roughly 1 pound of dry matter is 2 pounds of milk. So certainly anything you do to drop a dry matter intake or enhance it would make a difference. Very quickly, amino acids, which is protein. Actually, our cows do not have a protein requirement. They have an amino acid requirement, just like you and I do. And as a result, a protein will very quickly, if you start cheating there on them, you'll see a pretty drastic milk drop. What about energy? Well, the good news, energy, while not a true nutrient, certainly it's important on milk production, but the cow has the ability to mobilize body fat. So you can maybe borrow from the bank for a couple of weeks or that, but eventually the cow gets very thin, and that has impacts on animal health and fertility on that animal as well. So certainly those are factors that come into play. The one that probably is interesting is minerals, vitamins, and additives. Many cases, we talked to a farmer, and he said, well, I took them all out except for one, and nothing happened. And the answer is, well, maybe in the first month or two, you won't see anything. But especially on minerals, and we have people are saying, well, money's tight, so we're not going to feed any mineral to our growing heifers. They'll just get what's in their normal diets. I wish them well, because they may not see anything for the first 3 or 4 months, but eventually these heifers may not have as good a fertility. They may have more lameness problems, and that's another one. So some of these key nutrients, dry matter and protein, are going to pop up immediately, as I would say. Some of the other ones are going to take weeks, in some cases months, before we discovered we made a mistake. And then the problem is, I can't correct that mistake. Let's say it's related to a health issue or mastitis. It may take an entire lactation for that to turn around. And I wish I could tell you this, that maybe 6 months from now, the price of milk will become more balanced. And then I got to be ready to capture that high value of milk, like we did in 2014 when we had $25 milk. You know, anybody who didn't have cows ready to go with $25 milk, boy, they're really paying the price now.
In the fourth or even fifth year of low milk prices, are there any dairies now that might be seeing those effects of poor feeding choices?
Well, I think we're seeing some of the farmers that are really getting squeezed on milk prices, because there's always going to be a cost of production. For example, here in Illinois, based on our FBFM records, it's about $18.18. So it says that when the price goes down below that, then obviously we're not covering all our costs. How do you do that if you're a dairy farmer? Well, you don't pay yourself as much. You may have less labor inputs. You may not buy the new tractor. You may delay equipment or any modernization that's going on. I don't think with the low feed prices we're seeing much reduction on feed aspects, other than maybe minerals, vitamins, additives, maybe some of the rumen-protected amino acids. Once you get over 10 cents a cow a day, you better be sure that your cows understand they're supposed to respond either in health, component, or milk production.
Any last thoughts to leave us with, Mike?
Well, I think the dairy industry is changing very quickly. For example, in our state in the last 12 months, we lost 9% of our shippers as far as that goes. So the dairy industry is going to change much like the swine industry changed, at least that's my thought. And 5 years of this, we have farmers right now, very good farmers in Illinois, that says, you know, we're not going to go any more years. We're living off equity right now. And if this goes for another 2 or 3 years, there'll be nothing left. And so they're going to get out. So I think a real dynamics is occurring, maybe not so much in the feed end, but just a number of herds, who's going to be left producing milk, and where our processors are going to be looking for milk.
You said 9% shippers, you mean 9% of farms?
Yep, that'd be 9% of the farms. So that's hard data. In other words, either they write them a check or they don't write them a check. And so one of our larger co-ops as far as that goes. We also here in Wisconsin, losing 1.5 farms a day. Wisconsin, Minnesota, 2.5 farms a day. So it's a real dynamics that's going on. And you're saying, well, we still have plenty of milk, obviously. We can't ship it to Canada and all that kind of neat stuff. But we still have the problem, you know, of what are we going to do with all this milk product? Yes, we'd love to export it, but there's challenges there as well. There is dry milk coming all over. Huge supplies coming out of the EU, and here in the U.S. we have a lot of cheese product as well. So certainly challenging times.